Welcome to Radio C on Youth Express, recorded live from the Saturday Light Brigade studios. This is Gabby Moran, and I'm a junior at Oakland Catholic High School. Joining me is my co-host today, Katie Kinnett, junior Mary Cumston, and sophomores Isabel Schmuler, Josie Cost, and Julia Wingard.
Hi, I'm Katie Kinnett, and I'm a sophomore at Oakland Catholic. Today we'll hear from two of our masked stars, Johanna Loughran and Emily Kleitz. We'll also listen to Rosie Farrow discuss her experiences on CMU's Girls of Steel robotics team. But first, we'll hear an interview with Isabel Schmaler and Josie Cost, with two of our male history teachers, about their experiences teaching in an all-girls Catholic high school.
Thanks, Katie. The Oakland Catholic atmosphere would not be the same without the passionate teachers that push us all to strive to do our best, both inside and outside of the classroom. Given that we're also accustomed to our all-female perspectives, we oftentimes forget to consider the male perspective on things. Sometimes we even forget that there are men inside the building. With that, let's listen to our interviews with Mr. Finnegan and Mr. Williams and hear their stories and perspectives from teaching in an all-girls school.
How and when did you get involved in the OC community?
I was hired in 2007. I was a mid-year replacement, so I didn't really know what was going to happen down the road. I didn't know if I was going to stay here or what was going to open up. But I came in, was really excited to be a part of OC, and then I was hired for the next year and been here ever since, so 07 on.
I was actually working in North Carolina. I had been scheduled to come back the next year, and I had been teaching eighth, and I was going to be teaching sixth grade. And I was really dreading it because I had never done that before. The kids were really little, I wasn't ready for that. And came back up to Pittsburgh for the summer, really hoping that I could find something up here. Saw a post online, Oakland Catholic's hiring, went for it. And Dr. Marceller and Mrs. Elno interviewed with them, and they hired me.
Nice. So what were your first impressions of teaching at an all-girls school?
I don't know if it was a first impression, but a first feeling was probably a little bit of fear. Didn't know what to expect coming into an all-girls setting or even an all-boys setting. I didn't have any experience with single-gender education at all. Went to Catholic grade school, so I knew about that. But as far as all-girls, I was a little apprehensive. I know friends that I would tell were always like, oh, all girls, what's going to happen there? It's teenage girls everywhere, it's going to be chaos. But came into it, and despite any apprehensions, I learned pretty quick that it's a very normal high school setting. And the idea that it's all girls, I don't know if you can forget about it, but I don't think about it all the time. It's just kind of is what it is to be kind of cliche, but that's kind of the way I feel about it.
I was totally scared out of my mind. I think the first year I was like afraid of my students. And I went to a public school, it was co-ed. I had no idea what this was gonna be like. And one of the things that Mr. Finnegan had actually prepared me for was just the sound. It sounds different than a co-ed school. It's like higher pitched and it'll just be loud, And I tried to explain that to my sister, and she just didn't get it. She's like, "Yeah, it couldn't be any louder." And I said, "Think of it this way: you go to a sleepover with like all of your best friends, and it's just your best friends. You don't have to worry about embarrassing yourself or being with anyone else. Are you going to act differently? Are you going to be louder? Are you going to say just more stuff that's on your mind?" And she's like, "Yeah, that does make sense." And I think that's kind of what this place is. And I think it looks like you guys are having fun and you enjoy it. And to me, that was kind of a new idea that everyone was just kind of being themselves a little bit more.
Just reminds me of something. When I started, I was a mid-year replacement, and about a month into my time here was Spirit Week. And I had no idea of what that was. They used the word, I didn't know Spirit Week. No context whatsoever. Brand new teacher, my first real teaching job. And I remember walking into that gym, and the sound is what triggered that. The sound in there, any pep rally, you got a lot of sound going, but it was a different kind of sound.
Pure intensity.
Yeah,
intensity. Like entering the Coliseum, if you could, go back in time.
You got Coliseum, Lord of the Flies, we can pull in some analogies. It was intense, and that I think that was my first true OC experience.
Do you like teaching at an all-girls school?
Most definitely, yes. kind of like I said before, I lose sight sometimes of the fact that it is an all-girls school. It's just a really good school is what it comes down to. You know, you have wonderful teachers, people that I've gotten to know over the years, and really creative, interested students that have curiosity and enthusiasm about it. It's exciting being in the all-girls setting because I think it gives opportunities that may not be there in a co-ed institution, because every position, every leadership opportunity, everything is going to be held by girls because there's no other alternative. But I think that gives such a great opportunity for experience and, you know, the next step moving forward. I can't imagine any other place right now in terms of where I would be.
On a day-to-day basis, when I'm in class, I'd never thought, I'm at an all-girls school. This is an all-girls school. That just doesn't like really cross your mind. I think the only time that it did was going to the freshman retreat, religious retreat, and looking out and realizing that I was the only male in a room of 120 people. And that just kind of struck me as strange. But like Mr. Finnegan said, just all of the opportunities that you guys have here, it's such a great place. I think you're all way more confident than my experiences at a co-ed larger school. This is a wonderful place for that.
So what's been like your funniest moment teaching here?
I can think of a couple things that were pretty humorous, but it's not really a moment here, but the first thing I can think of is just the fact that, you know, Mr. Williams says he had a moment where he was the only male in the room. I feel like that's my life right now because I have two daughters and my wife at home. I come to work and I'm surrounded by female students all the time, and mostly female teachers. I find that just kind of funny generally, but maybe the funniest moment that I can remember specifically was when my second daughter was born. I was waiting for the call to come, and I knew it was going to come sometime during the day. I was here in my classroom teaching about World War I, and my cell phone rings, and the class got really anxious because they knew the call might come, and I take it and my wife is saying, yeah, you better come right now. Baby's gonna come. And the class, I guess, could tell that that's what was going on. They let out this shriek. And the funny part is that the room next door, Mr. D's room, heard their shriek and then shrieked themselves. And like they were communicating via scream somehow that the baby was coming. And I'll remember that forever. And then I just ran out of the room. I don't even know who taught my class the rest of the day. I hope those kids got home all right. But yeah, that was a pretty great moment.
So during Spirit Week, when we were at the talent show this year, and I remember someone, and I don't remember who it was, just let out this like low pitch, almost guttural, like just yelled it up at the stage, whoever was up on stage, and thinking, that's amazing. That where else would someone feel comfortable enough to just up at the stage?
You can truly be yourself.
Yeah. I think that was for me, yeah.
Has teaching at an all-girls school like changed your perspective on just like life or anything?
Just giving young people the opportunity to pursue what they want and be whatever they want. I take it personally now because seeing my two girls at home, who are the oldest one's about to start kindergarten, and the little one is doing her thing. Just seeing the path that they're on, and knowing that there are avenues for them to pursue whatever they want and go after their dreams in that way. I think that's one of the best things about this place, is that opportunity.
So all this stuff that people have been talking about, the gender wage gap and all of these things, I think places like this help with that. Improving your opportunities, getting you interested in sciences, engineering, things like that. I think that's important.
So it was really nice getting to hear Mr. Finnegan and Mr. Williams talk about their experiences at Oakland. It was really funny, too, just to hear, like, the young guys, like, talking about being in an all-girls school, because I'm sure it's overwhelming at first, but it was nice to hear what they had to say, because I think a lot of us get the impression that, like, boys are terrible and that, we aren't around boys enough to know their perspectives, and it was really nice to be reassured by Mr. Finnegan and Mr. Williams that guys aren't that bad.
Okay, so I personally really liked Mr. Finnegan's story about when, his first daughter was being born, and everybody like erupted into screaming and yelling and excitement, because I think it really captures the atmosphere of Oakland Catholic, because we're just such a, I guess, supportive community, and everybody's just, you know, so excited all the time. It's just, it's really great.
Listening to Mr. Finnegan and Mr. Williams' stories were pretty amusing, but they also provided us with a new perspective, just like the Oakland Catholic and Central Catholic Mask production of Fame. Let's hear from Julia about her experience with Mask the past couple of weeks.
Oakland Catholic recently performed the amazing musical Fame, along with Central Catholic. The show is set in New York City in the 80s and is centered around students in a performing arts school. The cast and crew worked very hard, and today we have two members of the cast with us. Johanna Loughran, who played Carmen Diaz, an actress struggling to become famous, and Emily Kleitz, a featured dancer.
So today we're just going to ask you guys a few questions about the show and about Mask in general. So after extensive preparation for the show, how do you feel now that it's all said and done?
Now that it's over, I'm very sad because now I just go home and watch Netflix a lot. And like, I still do the dance moves in the mirror, but I'm very happy it happened.
Yeah, I'm proud that we pulled it off. And I thought it turned out really well, but it's weird not to stay after school anymore. And I do go home and I just kind of like sit there and I'm like, what do I do now? And I still run the dances by myself.
So when you're with each other so much, like every day after school for like hours, do you form a concrete bond or do you like get on each other's nerves after a while?
I think there's a concrete bond, mm-hmm. especially when putting on a show, you have to work well together. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone in Mask really does.
Yeah, you meet a lot of new people, yeah. And I've never gotten annoyed with anyone in the cast, and we're a Mask family, and I know I can talk to anyone in the cast or crew.
Do you have any advice for anyone who wants to audition and join Mask in the future?
Yeah, definitely know the audition music yeah. and be comfortable singing in front of other people and talking in front of other yeah. people especially.
And realize the time commitment that it is mm-hmm. and the practices after school. Yeah.
Okay, so what was your favorite thing about Mask or just Fame in general?
My favorite thing about Fame was definitely the dancing. Specifically, dancing on the sidewalk, because the audience was just so involved and they looked like they had such a great time. So it made you really feel proud of what you were doing.
Yeah, I thought the dancing in Fame was so much fun. When we did There She Goes in Fame, that number was a lot of fun. And definitely dancing on the sidewalk. The audience just like cheered in the middle of it, and it was great to hear them.
In a dream world, what show would you like to perform? Like, what would you like to see on the stage?
The show I would like to do maybe in the future, or even if I'm not there and see it done at Mask, I would like West Side Story, because it's a lot of dancing, and I know that we have a lot of great dancers, so we could pull it off, I think.
I think Legally Blonde would be a lot of fun to do. And I just think that would be really cool to see.
When the audience is watching the show, obviously all we see is the final performance, like the final production. But what happens behind the scenes that's like interesting or we don't know about?
Well, when we're getting ready before to go on, a lot of us are getting in character. And one of our cast members would always do breathing exercises and really find himself before the show, like a half hour before the show.
He does a lot of stretches. Mm-hmm. You just see him like in the middle of yes. like our senior speeches or whatever. Mm-hmm. He'll be just stretching.
We also get a lot of notes before each performance.
Notes, yeah.
And we get a lot of notes leading up to each performance. And there's so much information they tell us that we have to retain and remember.
Yeah, things we have to fix. Whenever we're doing our hair and makeup, it's really crowded, but it's like a lot of fun because somebody's playing music and so we're all getting really like pumped up mm-hmm. for the show.
And the show, we especially played a lot of 80s music
yeah,
to really find
music.
Ourselves, like find our character.
And the characters. We lip sync to other yes. people's songs.
Yes, well, other songs are going on. We're always yeah. lip syncing and making up our own moves with each
yeah.
other. And I think it really brings us closer together.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
A lot of people
things.
Also got asked to prom.
Oh, there were a lot of promposals.
Like, I got asked to prom, yeah. And my one friend who asked me did it by
doing a little tap dance from Singing in the Rain. And then at the end, he had an umbrella that said prom, question mark. So I thought that was really nice.
That was really cute.
I said yes.
She said yes, yeah.
That was really nice.
Yeah, there were a lot of proposals this year.
A ton.
So obviously, when you're performing, a lot of people get scared. How do you guys deal with stage fright?
We try to calm each other down. Usually we'll tell people or tell our friends, and they'll, like, we usually say a lot of prayers, too, before going on.
Yeah,
we always say
a lot of prayers.
Yes, always. And we pray as a cast and drink lots of water. That really calms me down when I'm getting stressed.
Like, even if you were to mess up, even if it was just something little, like a friend would be like, nobody noticed. Like, you covered it up or you played it off.
They help you through it.
Yeah.
As you can hear in the interview, the cast and crew worked really, really hard to put on an amazing show. I and Julia are both part of stage crew, and I was on sound for the show, which means I was in charge of making sure everyone had their mics on and their mics were working. And Julia was on props, so she made sure that everything went smoothly behind the scenes. We watched about 2 weeks worth of rehearsals before the actual show, so I think that watching it at the end all come together, I think that the actors and actresses put on an amazing show, and I really can't wait to see what they have in store for next year.
Yeah, just to build off what Katie said about having a truly amazing show, I think just being in the audience was really fun to see my classmates and just their talent on the stage is just amazing, because I'm so used to seeing girls in school and I have no idea that they have such amazing talent on stage. Like, I see Johanna in chem and she's like amazing at chemistry, but then I see her on the stage and she's 10 times better at singing and dancing than chemistry, and just like owning the stage and being able to see like all my friends really express themselves and just like show what they've got is really cool.
Thank you, Isabel. MASC is one of the many ways for our talented students here at Oakland Catholic to perform in collaboration with our brother school, Central Catholic. All of the girls involved in MASC are extremely talented, and we'd like to congratulate them on an amazing show, and we look forward to more in the future.
So next, we're going to hear an interview done by Radio C correspondent and co-host Mara Sheedy, and she had the chance to sit down and talk with Peyton Condis and Courtney Coghill about their experiences swimming at States at Bucknell University recently.
Hi, this is Mara Sheedy, and today I have two senior state swimmers with me. This is Peyton Condis and Courtney Coghill.
Hi, my name is Peyton, and I do breaststroke and IM.
This is Courtney, and I too do breaststroke and IM, but I've dabbled in the...
You've dabbled in the fly.
In the fly, in the free, you know, pretty much anything except for backstroke.
Wow.
Breaststroke and backstroke.
You're right.
So both of you guys practice a lot in advance for these kinds of things. How much do you swim during the year?
Literally every day, except for Sundays, which, you know, we usually do, like, training or some sort of, like, dry land exercise, so there's not really any breaks. Yeah. Also, we get a week break. Usually, swimmers get a week break in, like, August and May, so, like, 2 weeks out of the
year. 2 weeks a year, wow.
That's solid, yeah. And then in the summer, we usually do doubles, so 3 or 4 times a week. So then there's 2 practices a day, and that's awesome.
So is it all worth it to be state swimmers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you two both are taking your talents on to college next year, I understand.
Yes.
Do you want to tell the audience where you're going?
Go ahead. I will be attending GW in the fall. I love the coaches there. Hopefully I'll get to swim. The team that I'm on now is kind of small, and we don't really get to do relays and such, so I hope that I get to do a lot more and do more breaststroke there too. So
I'm going to Houston, and I'm really excited because it's going to be completely different from anything I've ever been through in my whole life. So it's going to be a good experience for me to like grow, and it's going to be tough competition-wise. I know they have a few good breaststrokers, and then I think there's 1 or 2, maybe 3 IMers coming in with me, so wow. It'll be a good chance to push myself more.
I'm sure you guys will do great. So back to States. So how big of a deal is States for those of people who don't know? Can you tell us a little bit about like the qualifications and just like the type of competition there?
So let me just say that Whippeals is the most intense thing I've been to in my whole life.
Yes.
Before we talk about States. Mm-hmm. Compared to States, Whippeals is way more intense.
Yeah. Really?
It's likened to the NCAAs.
Yeah, because our area is so good that you have to go all out for Whippeals.
Yeah.
Or you're not making it to States because you, I think, is it top two go to States in the
top
individuals
five.
And top three in the relays?
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest is just time qualifications, so they look at everyone else from the other parts of the state. And it's just whoever has the best time gets to go.
And, like, for people like me who I came in, like, fourth in the one event, so it was pretty likely that I went to States with the other one in the breaststroke. It was pretty close. You have to always, like, watch the times and stuff and see, like, I don't know, Peyton has done really well, so, like, I don't think she's ever had to worry about making it. But, like, for me, it's really nerve-wracking just, like, following the website and watching, like,
yeah.
Oh my God, will I make it?
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I made it all 4 years, so.
Wow.
Yeah,
both of you have made it all 4 years. That's really
yeah.
an accomplishment.
Yeah.
So how'd you guys end up doing it, States, the whole team? So there was five of you who went to States, right?
Yeah, we had
five.
Kat, Sarah, Bridget, Courtney, and I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and our first relay did really well. We came in sixth in the state, which is really awesome, especially for AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And then individually, I didn't do as well as I'd hoped. I was sixth, so that was fun. It's really hard to come back from Whippeals afterwards because
we
do tapering,
yeah.
which
yeah.
is like you lessen your yardage and like increase your intensity. So. Yeah, it's a really hard time period to, like, get yourself back up and back into shape.
Yeah, and we had less time this year than we usually do. We had, like, a little bit, like, over a week before we left for States right after Whoops. And that's just not enough time to do anything, really.
You're, like, so out of shape, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
I think, though, you guys still definitely had a lot of accomplishments coming
yeah.
in
yeah,
the high
I
place
think
that
so.
You did, so.
Yeah, it was good.
I was happy
it was
with
good.
It in the end.
Yeah.
It was fun.
So to wrap this up, do you guys have any final words on your last swimming season in your high school career or any last fun things you'd like to share or what you're looking forward to?
I'll share something. It was really sad
yeah.
because
I'm sure.
It's just like it feels like we've been doing this forever and now all of a sudden it's just over, but it was such a great experience. Like, there were some times throughout the high school season that I didn't know if I was going to come back and do it or not. Because when you're juggling high school and club swimming, it's really difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going in between practices, you have meets two times a week, and it just gets really, really hard, but it was all worth it, and I know one of my favorite moments from States this year was getting my medal from Courtney.
Yeah.
Because we've been swimming together since we were, like, 10.
Yeah.
And I used to look up to Courtney when she was... We were younger. She was so much better than me.
Oh my
gosh.
I'd
be like, Mom, I just want to be her.
Oh my,
right now.
What?
Yeah.
No.
The
yeah.
truth comes out
I
when
was
I see radio.
I was like, awed
I'm
by
gonna
you.
I'm going to cry right now.
Like, legitimately.
Oh my God.
So it was
even
awesome.
When I fell off the blocks and stuff.
Yeah.
That was bad.
So it was awesome to be able to get my medal from this girl right here
yeah.
who's been with me through all of
swimming
yeah. pretty much.
Courtney, any last words?
Yeah, I mean, since freshman year when we had Jim Skirball as a coach, freshman and sophomore year, just, like, the difference with Jim and Mercy, like, there's such a stark difference for me, at least. Mercy really, really tries to incorporate everyone on the team, and I love that she makes everyone feel like they're wanted, and as a suggestion to the swimmers, like, the younger swimmers and people who want to join, I would just say, just do it. It's an amazing experience, even if you're not as talented as you think you are, Mercy will really, like, shape you into, like, a better swimmer and a better person.
Yeah. Around. If anything, you meet great people on the team.
Yeah.
So it's
awesome.
Worth it no matter what.
Definitely.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank
so, again,
you.
That
thank
was
you.
Courtney and Peyton. And thanks, guys.
We have many talented students at Oakland Catholic. Some are athletes like Courtney and Peyton, but a lot are interested in other STEM-rooted activities like Rosie Farrow, who is involved with the Girls of Steel robotics team through CMU.
Not only does Oakland Catholic have amazing athletic achievements, but we also have huge successes in our various academic clubs, one being the Girls of Steel robotics team, which is sponsored by Carnegie Mellon University. Rosie Farrow, an Oakland Catholic sophomore, has quite a lot of experience with the Girls of Steel Club, and today she will give us a few insights into the recent happenings of the team.
I've heard that the Girls of Steel Robotics team has been very successful lately. What do you do for the club?
It's run through CMU, and on the team, I work as a programmer, and I'm also the strategist, which means I help develop strategies, and it also means I'm on the drive team, which is a sub-team of girls who have extra meetings and actually handle the robotic competitions.
Can you give us an explanation about how the Girls of Steel competition works?
For the competition, we play a game with two other teams called our alliance. There's also an opposing alliance for a total of 6 robots on the field at once. For quarterfinals and all the following rounds, the top 8 teams get to pick lower-ranking teams to be in their alliance. So, at the Pittsburgh Regional, we were ranked 24th out of 52 teams and chosen for the 8th place alliance. We also won the Entrepreneurship Award, which is pretty prestigious. At the Queen City Regional in Cincinnati, Ohio, we ranked 12th out of 56 teams, which is really good. Then, during alliance selection, a few of the top 8 teams chose other teams that were in the top 8, and when that happens, lower teams move up into the other spots for alliance selection. Even though we had placed 12th during qualification rounds, we ended up being the captains of the 8th place alliance, which meant we got to choose the 2 other teams we would be working with. Since I'm the strategist, part of my job is to go up onto the field and choose the other teams. So it was actually me who made a few last-minute decisions to choose which teams we were going to be with. Of course, I wasn't completely cut off from my teammates, so I was texting some other girls who were up in the stands for their input. However, I ended up choosing teams 2016, the Monkey Wrenches, from Ewing, New Jersey, and team 5811, the Bonds, from Dayton, Ohio. It was also at Queen City Regional that we won the Engineering Inspiration Award, which means that we qualify for championships, and that our entry fee for championships is being paid for by NASA.
That's really interesting. So what was your specific project?
So for the competition, there were a set of defenses that a robot has to cross, and then we also transport these boulders, but they're actually just balls, and we have to transport them over into the courtyard, which is just crossing the defenses, and then we have to shoot the balls into either a low goal or a high goal. So our robot specifically shoots into the low goal, although we are working for a high goal shooter, which may or may not be ready for championships. It's a work in progress. We're getting there. Overall, it's really fun, and I love it. So
that's great. So how many hours did you spend on the project?
We had to spend 10 hours a week during build season, and then we have to spend 3.5 hours a week during competition season.
So what is it about Girls of Steel that sets it apart from your other activities?
Honestly, I would have to say that Girls of Steel is the highlight of my day. We work very fluidly as a team, and although we face a few bumps in the road every now and then, as any organization does, we still persevere and we do a really good job of encouraging girls to pursue STEM careers. However, I would like to add that we're definitely not doing this alone, and that we have many great mentors who help us to stay safe and make sure that we do everything correctly. Our mentors all help us to remember that we are a team and that we do need to work together and be kind to one another. Overall, the mentors are great, the other girls are great, and our mission is great. I think that's why I love it so much.
I'm just curious, how did you initially become interested in the STEM fields?
My older sister, Maggie, actually inspired my love of STEM. She's super smart, and when she was in high school, she was on a robotics team, and I thought that that was really cool. I loved hearing stories about what she was doing with her team, and what their robot looked like, and how everything worked. She ended up being a technical writer, which is in a STEM field, and she inspires me every day to keep up my interest in STEM.
So do you think that being on the team has provided you with any skills or tools that can be applied in everyday activities?
I think one of the main skills Girls of Steel has given me is confidence. I'm so proud of everything we've accomplished as a team, and it is really empowering to know that not only am I getting support at home, I'm being supported here at Oakland Catholic and on the team itself. I've learned so much about other people, especially since there are girls from all over Pittsburgh on our team. Some of my best friends go to all different schools, so it's interesting to see that we can all cooperate even though we all come from different backgrounds. My closest friends are students at the Ellis School, which isn't too different from my all-girls experience here at Oakland. Penn Hills High School, Plum High School, and even a few girls are homeschooled. Meeting and being so close with all these other girls has really given me a lot of insight into the world, because not everyone I'll meet in the future will have come from an all-girls high school like I have. I've also learned a lot about gracious professionalism and cooperative competition, or as we call it at Robotics, cooperation. I learned a lot about handling any sort of criticism we may face gracefully and professionally. And remembering that, although it is a competition, we still do have to cooperate with the other teams in our alliance. I think that all of these skills are applicable in everyday life, and I'm glad I've had the chance to learn them.
Thank you. I think that's very insightful. How do you think your work with Girls of Steel has influenced your goals, and how has it heightened your passion for robotics?
Girls of Steel has definitely just made me more passionate for robotics. I've always been passionate, and I had done First LEGO League from 4th to 8th grade. I always loved doing it, but when I got to be on Girls of Steel, I think that it's really just encouraged me to succeed and prove that girls do belong in STEM, and that we are necessary and important. As Rosie the Riveter would say, we can do it.
Thank you for that reference. Would you encourage Oakland Catholic students in the future to join the Girls of Steel robotics team?
Absolutely. Encouraging girls to follow their passion for STEM is super important, and I will always support other Oakland girls, any girls really, to follow their dreams and pursue a career in STEM, because girls are smart enough, and we are good enough, and we are strong enough. There's too much discouragement in today's society when we need to be empowering girls. Anything anybody else could do, a girl can do. That's why I would encourage girls to join the team. Not only is it a great way to make friends, have fun, and do something that's actually interesting, you also have a chance to learn and empower yourself and prove to the world that not only are you good enough, but every single girl is good enough. Any little girl who might want to figure out how her favorite video game was built can be encouraged by seeing other girls who design and build video games. And then she can pursue her own dream of designing and building video games. When little girls come up to us to see our robot and they tell us that they think we're cool, that's the best feeling in the world. They're going to want to pursue STEM careers because they've seen girls succeed at STEM before and do great things. I'd encourage any Oakland girl to join the team because it's such a great opportunity and you can really make an impact on someone's life.
Rosie actually does tech work for the podcast, so I'd like to thank her for taking the time to talk to us today.
In the same way that Rosie is involved in STEM, our entire school has become more technology-based since the introduction of Mission Forward last year, when we all got MacBooks. Today we're going to have a roundtable discussion about Mission Forward and the presence of technology at Oakland Catholic. Every single student and teacher at Oakland Catholic has a MacBook. So I'm going to talk about the in-class experience with the MacBooks. It's definitely a lot different from grade school when everything that you took notes on was in your notebook, everything that you turned in was on paper. Now at Oakland, every single thing we do, except for maybe math class, is on our MacBooks. Everything we turn in is turned in virtually. A lot of teachers have projectors or smart boards in their room, so they go through PowerPoint presentations on their computer, and a lot of people, every single day, their teaching involves direct contact with the computers. I think that's a really positive thing because everyone has adapted well to the computers. So say that you're in history class and you're learning about World War II and you forget who the leader of Germany was. You can just get right on your computer and Google that and you have everything like right at your fingertips.
So yeah, you talked about how they help us in the classroom. And I think that, you know, building off of that, having the MacBooks has definitely opened up opportunities for Oakland Catholic to introduce more courses into their curriculum. So you can now take classes such as AP Computer Science, programming a mobile device, and you know that starts next year and everything. So I think that getting these computers was really a big step for the Oakland Catholic community. Not only does it help inside of the classroom, but it also does have a lot of benefits outside of the classroom too, because for example, this year was the first year that Oakland Catholic has taken part in the Data Jam competition, which is where groups come together and they pick a problem, probably a Pittsburgh-related problem, and they use big data to analyze that problem, and they come up with a solution. It's very similar to a science fair project, but the main focus on this one is data science and data analytics. I'm part of that club, and the computers have really given us a huge benefit. We're able to use them to, of course, analyze the data and sort it out, and they've really contributed to our success in that club so far.
So actually, just today, I had a conversation with Mrs. Kasnick, our president at Oakland Catholic, and we were able to discuss how Oakland Catholic, given that one of our key principles is fostering the growth of all aspects of a person, balance is something that is so important to our community. And she was telling me about a potential idea for something maybe next year where we would completely go tech-free for an entire day. Now, of course, this would have exceptions, you know, emergencies and administrative purposes. But it's something interesting to keep in mind because I would say that mostly the Oakland Catholic community is dependent on our computers. And it would be just such a different experience to walk away from all of that for one day. So what are your thoughts on having a tech-free day?
Yeah, in all honesty, the time it took to adapt to the computers, we adapted really quickly. And having a tech-free day, I think it would be different for us because, of course, we're not used to having a day without technology anymore.
Yeah, we're very dependent on our computers. And because, like Katie said before, a lot of our classwork is dependent on computers and we need them. But I think there are a lot of times when, like, do you really need to be on your laptop when you're, like, doing math problems? Or do you really need to be on your laptop when you're, like, trying to write French sentences? Like, stuff like that where it's good to put your laptop down and just be focused on what you're doing. And I think that having a tech-free day would actually really benefit. You know, the world does revolve around technology, but it also revolves around a lot of other things that don't include that. So I think that'd be a great thing for Oakland.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, having a tech-free day would help people become less distracted. And, you know, it would really be great for fostering discussion in classes, especially classes that are discussion-based. Sometimes I find in those classes, you know, people are on their computers taking notes when the teacher really wants to just have, like, an open discussion. You know, shutting off the computer for a day would really help with that.
Great thoughts, and, I mean, hopefully that's something that's in the cards for next year. Our mission forward so far has been a phenomenal success, and I think that every single person within Oakland has seen the benefit of having it, so hopefully next year it'll continue to grow, to excel, and we'll see the benefit of using technology and also stepping away from it for a little bit. That concludes this episode of Radio Sion Youth Express, recorded live from the Saturday Light Brigade studios. Special thanks to Mrs. Rinkus, our moderator, and the Youth Express team. We welcome your feedback and input. Please address comments to info@youthexpress.org. You're listening to Youth Express, all youth, all the time. For more of this podcast or others like it on demand, find us on SoundCloud or stay tuned to youthexpress.org. Youth Express, catch the future.